Good morning to everyone. Thank Brian for reading that scripture reading. I thought it might be okay to, rather than start us off immediately with our theme, which we'll be looking at here in just a moment, we'd have something that was a variation of it. It's good to have everyone here with us this morning. Good to see all the smiling faces. Happy to have those that are listening to the live stream. Happy to have visitors with us this morning. We pray that the message that is presented will be one that is encouraging to us, uplifting to us, and helps us as we strive to live our lives for the Lord. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first, and also for the Greek. Romans 1:16. What we've been looking at the beginning of each month of this year. But as we just heard from what Brian read for us, there are other places within God's holy word that we find this thought, this idea presented. So I appreciate what was read in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. It's always impressed me because the last part of that just seems to emphasize, to me at least, the attitude that we should have in regards to God's word and wanting to get it out to those around us, to share that, to be happy to do so, and not to be ashamed of it. Yes, woe is me if I do not preach the gospel. As Christians, that's what we're supposed to be doing. Sharing that message with others that they might hear about the salvation that the Lord has to offer. We could also look to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 at the outset of that chapter. If you'll give me just a moment to get there. There we read in chapter 1, verse 5, the following. For our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power. There's that idea that we see in Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Also in power and in the Holy Spirit and in much assurance, as we know what kind of men we were among you for your sake. Or over in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 8. Another thought in regards to the gospel. There we read, therefore do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God. The power of the gospel. Not being ashamed of it. And one of the things I found difficult with this particular lesson is we have spent 7 months, or we've had seven lessons on this particular verse. And trying to come up with something that was a little bit different was a challenge. And I'm hopeful that what I have is a little bit different, but also is similar. In that we don't want to lose sight of why we want to emphasize this verse. That we want to share the gospel with others. And we want to be bold in doing so. Not being brash or anything, but boldly proclaiming it. Because we truly believe what it says. That it's a message that others need to hear and one that we need to adhere to. So what I've decided to do this morning is to look at three individuals who took this message to heart, who were not ashamed of the gospel, but spread it even under dire circumstances. We're going to start in Acts chapter 6. And in Acts chapter 6, if you remember at the outset, there is a dispute going on. And in this dispute, there are some individuals, some Hellenist widows that are being overlooked in the daily distribution. So there were some men that were selected. And as we read in verse 5, they go through the list of those who were chosen. And one of them in particular is who I want to start with, and that is Stephen. And they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit. In verse 8, tells us Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and signs among the people. Verse 10, they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spoke. So here we have not only Stephen, who is one who is taking care of or helping and taking care of these widows, but he was proclaiming the gospel. He took advantage of teaching others the gospel of Christ, and in the process, as it seems so common, there were those who didn't like what he was saying. And if you look at verses 11 through 15, they falsely accused Stephen of blasphemy. Verse 13, this man does not cease to speak blasphemous words against this holy place and the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this place and change the customs which Moses delivered to us. And then as we move into chapter 7, we have Stephen defending himself. And in that defense, he proclaims the gospel of Jesus. Now, the majority of chapter 7 lays the groundwork for what he wants to bring home in regards to Jesus. He talks about Abraham and Isaac, Jacob and Joseph, Moses, Joshua, David and Solomon, and talks about them being faithful and doing what the Lord wanted them to do. And then once he's done that in the first 50 verses, then he comes down to the point that he wants to make. Because, once again, remember, he has been falsely accused, and he's going to point out to them, no, what I am saying is what they have been presenting to you down through the ages. And you should have been listening to them. But you haven't been. And beginning with verse 51, Stephen doesn't mince a whole lot of words. You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit. As your fathers did, so do you. Which the prophets did your fathers not persecute? And they killed those who foretold the coming of the Just One, of whom you now have become the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the direction of angels and have not kept it. So you've been given God's instructions, but you didn't pay attention to it. You didn't heed it. You fought it along the way. And you've even taken the life of the Just One. So, of course, this made them happy, right? They were happy to hear these words. No. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed at him with their teeth. You can almost envision that, gnashing at him, upset with him. Did he back off? No. He kept going. But he, being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God and said, look, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. And this agitated them even more. Then they cried out with a loud voice, stopped their ears, and ran at him with one accord. They were out to get Stephen. And they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at the feet of the young man named Saul. We'll stop there for just a moment. So notice, Stephen has just presented to them, down through the ages, those who were speaking on behalf of God, really pointing to Jesus, and accused them of taking the lives of those prophets who came before. You wouldn't listen to them. Well, what kind of response do they have here? They don't want to listen to what Stephen has to say. They covered their ears, ran at him, stoned him, because he was proclaiming the gospel, but not ashamed to do so. Even knowing that his life was in jeopardy now, that didn't stop him. And they stoned Stephen as he was calling on God and saying, Lord, receive my spirit. Then he knelt down, cried out with a loud voice. Now notice this. To those who just stoned him and he's about to die, Lord, do not charge them with this sin. Still concerned about them and still worried about their spiritual well-being, he prayed really on their behalf. And when he had said this, he fell asleep, meaning that he died. So here's an individual, Stephen, who was not ashamed to proclaim the gospel of Christ and even gave his life for it. In the second place, our second example, kind of a nice segue here, because at the end of this chapter, in Acts chapter 7, we're introduced to Saul. And Saul, at this particular time, well, if you look at verse number 1 in chapter 8, what does it say about him? Now, Saul was consenting to Stephen's death. And not only that, he's going to go out far and wide trying to bring in these folks who are following this Jesus, following after what he taught, following after his gospel. But yet, as we read on, we find that Saul of Tarsus obeys the gospel and becomes such a stalwart in the cause of Christ. There's so much that we could say about Paul, looking through what he did, what he endured throughout his life. But yet, he always had this focus on the prize. What's going to be there at the end of the journey by staying faithful and true to the Lord. Now in Philippians chapter 1, there we read where Paul speaks about the furtherance of, the defense of the gospel. And in Philippians chapter 1, beginning with verse 12, notice what he has to say. But I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. Talking in terms of those who have mistreated him and about imprisonment and things like that. So that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ. What an attitude. though being chained up physically, his chains were in Christ. His allegiance, his devotion was to him. And most of the brethren in the Lord have become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Now, some indeed preach Christ even from envy and strife, some also from goodwill. The former preach Christ from selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my chains, but the latter out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. He wanted that message to get out there, even though there were those who were envious. As long as the gospel was properly being taught, that wasn't a bother to him or a hindrance to him. And in this I rejoice, yes, and I will rejoice. And we could go on and look at other passages or verses of Scripture that talk about the mistreatment that Paul endured. 1 Thessalonians 2, verses 1 and 2 talk about it, as well as 2 Timothy 2, verses 8 through 10. But the one that always gets me, and the one I always turn back to, is found over in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. It's just amazing to look at what he dealt with during the course of his ministry. What happened to him on numerous occasions, but yet it didn't stop him. It didn't deter him from doing what he was supposed to be doing, which is spreading the gospel. In our 2 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning with verse 22, are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool, now notice. I am more. In labors, more abundant. In stripes, above measure. In prisons, more frequently. We know that many times when we're reading these letters that Paul has written, he's in prison at the time. In deaths, often. Now, this next one gets me. From the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. Now, think about that. 195 lashes upon his back. His back must have been raw from being beaten. And my understanding is that on these whips or whatever you want to call them, they had pieces of bone, pieces of metal, and other things that would just intensify the pain that he was experiencing. Now, I don't know about you, but I remember when I was about this tall, and me being the ornery young man that I could be, would do something and it didn't please my parents. And back in those days, the punishment was, well, the belt came out. And I was always, even when I knew I was in trouble and I was going to get the spanking, I was always trying to maneuver to cut down the number of times that belt was going to hit my backside. I knew it was always going to be 2. That was kind of what was set within the family. But I always tried to make it 1. Because I didn't like it. It hurt. I mean, it served its purpose, but it hurt. And then I think of what Paul endured on his back 195 times. What a commitment and devotion he had to the Lord and carrying out his work. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned, matter of fact, stoned and left for dead. Three times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have been in the deep. Think about that, spending a night and a day in the water. In journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, and beside the other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. Paul was not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, even though he went through all of these things. And then ultimately, as he knew his life was drawing to its close, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, he talks about his journey. Beginning with verse 6, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith." Are we going to be able to say that when our lives draw to their close? That we've fought the good fight, that we've finished the race, we've stayed on course, we've kept the faith. "Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness." There was his focus. He knew what lay ahead. "The crown of righteousness which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing, to all those who remain faithful and true to him in living and proclaiming the gospel of Christ." Our third and final example this morning, we turn to the Apostle Peter. Now, a lot of times whenever we hear the name Peter, we think of his impetuousness, how he would blurt out things or do things that he shouldn't have and come back to regret those. But let us not forget the faithfulness of Peter in proclaiming the gospel. When the church was established, who was preaching? Who was presenting the gospel of Jesus? Who said to those who ask, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." And we go on in the life of Peter. In Acts chapter 4, and yes, he was not alone in these journeys, but he always seemed to be the one who was kind of out there in the forefront. They would say, "Peter said this," or "Peter did this." Well, in Acts chapter 4, after the gospel had been presented a second time, in Acts chapter 3, and people didn't like what they were hearing, we have Peter and John being arrested. But that wasn't going to stop them. They were going to continue to do what they were supposed to be doing. And if you notice, after those in leadership tried to stifle the proclamation of the truth, note what was said in Acts chapter 4, verses 19 and 20. But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it's right in the sight of God to listen to you more than God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Though they were told not to be teaching or preaching this about Jesus, well, who are we supposed to listen to? We're supposed to listen to you. We're supposed to listen to God. We're going to listen to God. This is what he told us to do. And we're going to do what he instructed us. Then as we move over to chapter 5. Now imprisoned. And let's look at this a little bit. In chapter 5, beginning with, let's see, well, about verse 12. We'll not read through all these verses. We'll highlight some things as we go along. So verse 12, here they are there. The proclamation of the truth is still going forth. More folks are coming, more are believing. You've got people here who are bringing those who are sick that are being healed. Verse 17, then the high priest rose up and all those who were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and they were filled with indignation, laid their hands on the apostles, put them in the common prison. But we know from there what happens, that an angel of the Lord comes, opens up the prison doors, they go out, they're told what to do, they go out and they do it, which is to go and preach the gospel. Go stand in the temple, speak to the people all the words of this life. And they did that. When it was found out that they were gone, the officers came and told the leaders once again that they were back out preaching this gospel. So they were brought back. But they were cautious in that bringing back. When they had brought them, verse 27, set them before the high priest, before the council, and the high priest asked them, did we not strictly command you not to teach in this name? We told you not to do this. And look, you filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood on us. And Peter stood up with the other apostles and said, oh, we're sorry. We didn't mean to do that. No. We ought to obey God rather than men. You're telling us one thing. God's telling us another. Our allegiance is with God. We're going to obey Him. And we're going to continue to proclaim this message. Didn't really sit well with them. Matter of fact, there are those who wanted to kill him right then and there. But then Gamaliel speaks up, points out some examples of some instances that happened before, and said, you know, these folks had a following for a little while, but then that ended. Let this play out. If this is just like these other folks, it'll end. But if it's not, we can't fight against God. Verses 40 through 42, and they agreed with him. And when they had called for the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. So they departed from the presence of the council, and here we go, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. Even after they had been forewarned, threatened, beaten, they continued to do the will of God Almighty. And we could look over as well, and we're not going to, but we could look over to the example with Cornelius and Peter coming there and speaking to them, going to the Gentiles, and speaking to them, preaching to them the gospel. And they heard it, and they believed it, if you look at the end of chapter 10. Not ashamed to proclaim the gospel of Christ. Willing to give their lives, give their all for Him. I hope these examples of these men will be of encouragement to us. And just like Paul had said, that when they saw him in chains and him still doing the Lord's bidding, continuing his ministry of proclaiming the gospel, it gave them encouragement and boldness to go out and do likewise. And I want to end our lesson this morning with three passages of Scripture in hopes that they will encourage us as well. In Romans chapter 10, we read the following words in regards to getting that message out. In Romans 10, beginning with verse 14, "How then shall they call on him in whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" Or we could say a teacher, and we can all be teachers. "And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things." How beautiful are the feet of those who take the message out. And yes, I know it focuses in here on the preacher, the evangelist. But yet we all have that responsibility, that obligation to share that message. And how happy God must be each time that we take that good news to others. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, another passage in regards to the gospel. This is one I hadn't really thought of before. I just happened to run across it in my preparation for the lesson. But this just kind of hit home with me. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning with verse 12. "Furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, and a door was opened to me by the Lord, I had no rest in my spirit because I did not find Titus my brother. But taking my leave of them, I departed for Macedonia." Now notice here. "Thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph in Christ, and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place." That proclaiming of the good news, expressed in such beautiful terminology, diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. "For we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To one we are the aroma of death leading to death, and to the other the aroma of life leading to life. And who is sufficient for these things? For we are not, as so many, peddling the word of God, but as of sincerity," or in sincerity, "but as from God, we speak in the sight of God in Christ," proclaiming the gospel. And one final passage, also coming from the Apostle Paul, and actually goes back to a book we were looking at earlier, Philippians chapter 1, this time looking at verses 21 through 27. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I cannot tell. For I am hard pressed between two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. And being confident of this, I know that I shall remain and continue with you, or with you all, for your progress and joy of faith, that your rejoicing for me may be more abundant in Jesus Christ by my coming to see you. See that struggle that he was having? So much better to be with the Lord, but understanding there was still more that he could and needed to do in getting that message out and encouraging his brothers and sisters in Christ as well. In verse 27, only let your, in talking to the brethren at Philippi, and something that we can learn as well, only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or I'm absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind striving together for the faith of the gospel. And may we do that. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone, the Jew first, also the Greek. Let's take that good news. Let's take that message to those around us. Lead lost souls to Jesus, that we might be a blessing in his kingdom. And that's our message this morning. I hope it's been a benefit to you, of encouragement to you. And now we have a song of encouragement for everyone, really. For those who haven't obeyed the gospel, it's a song to encourage you to do so, to come to Jesus before it's too late. For those who are struggling, it's for you. We're here with you and for you, and if we need to pray for you, to be of encouragement to you, it's also an invitation to you, but it's for all of us as well. A song to encourage us as we live our lives for Jesus, to do so to the best of our ability, and to one day receive that reward that awaits in heaven above. So if we can be of any assistance to you this morning, won't you come as we stand and as we sing?